But I'm going to say lessons for the late Parshas Tasria and Mitzora and Yom Ha'atzmaut Abba Aleinu Latova. For the first time, I want to dedicate the shir. I've never done this before, except a few seconds ago, but I've never dedicated a shir before in honor of my son, who will be going into the army on Sunday inducting. I wish him a gius, kal. He should be zeicha to be safe with all of the many people that are currently in the army. So many of my now my family members, my nephews in the army, my future nephew, my niece is engaged. Of course, the army should continue to be just a place where they're teaching people things and not what we call halacha v'lo lemaisa. And my son Yaakov Chaim ben Sarah Rivka should, Mirtz Hashem, it should be easy for him. There should be no war. There should be no situations. And this is it. And as I was just pointing out, so we had our first guest over in a year. And when you come to, you know, Leva Torah and see all the beautiful new what's the opposite of additions, subtractions of, you know, barriers and all those different things, it's, you know, I really think we're getting somewhere. And it's a very, very exciting time. It's also an exciting time. We have Yom Ha'atzmaut coming, Abba Aleinu Latova, in just a few days. And when I was talking to these guests that we had over, we were talking about how difficult it was to make Aliyah in a sprawling, beautiful community of Bergenfield, two houses next to the park. I mean, prime location. I had this chus of giving a shir in Rabbi Neuberger's shul. I had this chus of giving a of helping and starting Rabbi Sobolovsky's shul. And I didn't get too much encouragement, including my Rabbeim, from moving. And it was only now 13 years later that I had what I call an out-of-body type of experience, because I really wasn't part of this. My son asked to have a party, right? A gius party. And when I thought party, I was like, uh-oh. So I went shopping with him to Oshrad to get the meats and stuff like that. And because it's Yom Ha'atzmaut, so you know they have all the sales outside of Oshrad. So they had all the beers and stuff. And my son, who's 20 years old, it's the age, Rabbi Yisai, he's like, so can I? I'm like, yeah. Now, I don't know how the other parties go. I've never been to one. But this party was a siyum on Maseches Kedushin and Maseches Bava Kama. So it got pretty raunchy. No. So, like, you can imagine that it was, the beers were okay. It was a Sudas Mitzvah. My wife was not happy at all. And the most wonderful, mostly boys from his yeshiva, from Yerucham, they presented a sefer, a small, beautiful sefer that I thought was just halachos of the army, like, you know, the small sefer. Turned out it was a sefer that his class put together with the Divrei Torah on the Parsha. And things that's very interesting that I would never normally look at. You know, during Corona, there's a lot of halachos that came up that nobody ever thought of a million, you know, and they tucked away, they found some simon in a Shulchan Aruch or you know, a Maharam Chalawa, or they found, you know, some Shelos Tshuvos of whatever. And here they actually have in the back of it, besides, of course, Birchas HaMazon, they have Tefillah of Havineinu, right? Sometimes you're in the army, you have to have a quick tefillah, you can't. And they had all different tefillahs, which I never had seen before, about going, you know, doing a pula that's dangerous, and so on and so forth. Very, very inspiring. And I thought about this, because we were talking to this couple we had for Shabbos, about this education is such a difficult thing. And the truth is that we educate our children literally from the eighth day of their life. And if you please correct me if I'm wrong, we're right at the beginning of the parasha, right? It says, Isha ki sazria. And if she has her ben or bat, she has different amounts of time that she is considered to be impure. And if she has a boy, what does it tell us? Yamol b'sara b'yom ha'shmini, that you should, a child that, we have a child on the eighth day, he has a bris milah. Now, there's a lot of them before us. We speak about the Gemara discusses, of course, why they bring this up again. We know from Parshas Lech Lecha about bris milah. Okay, Kodem Matan Torah before, but also that Afilu B'Shabbos. So we see that this mitzvah is so important that it overrides the Shabbos itself. But there's something quite unique about Milah. And if we just think about for a moment, that Bris Milah is almost the one mitzvah that almost all Jews, no matter what their affiliation is, actually do. And of course, you know, that's not a, unfortunately, all-encompassing statement, but it's probably the number one mitzvah, right? If you think about it, you know, it's nice here in Eretz Yisrael, Hanukkah and Pesach, people have Siddurim and so on. But Bris Milah, like, no question about it. I remember, there's plenty of stories you could tell, and I mean, we're going to tell some nice stories I hope you'll enjoy. But I remember when I was working for the Ministry of Defense, so the first day when they put me at the cubicle that I was sitting at, I was sitting next to a gentleman by the name of Nir Levy. And Nir turned around and looked at me in my yarmulke. This was a few weeks after Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated by a firm person, or somebody who was espoused to be firm. And he looked at me and he says, "I hate you." I was like, "What?" Only Israelis can say that. He goes, "I don't know what you guys are doing. You people are doing it." It was a whole thing because we were Americans coming in to kind of oversee the process. It was interesting. And we became best of friends. And I had this chus of going to his wedding here in Eretz Yisrael. And then we kind of lost touch. He left the ministry. I left the Ministry of Defense. And he had his first child. And he called me up. And he said, I need a good moel. I'm going to Bris. I'm having a Bris. And he happened to live in Woodmere. So he says, I want to get kosher food. We want to make a nice thing. And if you know by the Sfaradim, they take it very seriously. Bris Milah is a mamash asudas Mr. Shane Kamo. I remember coming to Eretz Yisrael the first time. You guys know Seal and the driver. So we had already had a relationship before I moved to Israel. He had driven me around when I come here. And he invited me to his son's bris. I thought, well, big deal, right? And it comes like a bar mitzvah. It's like, unbelievable. Like, is this a bris? Or what? No, it's a bris. You know, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're like looking at, like, you know, now it's like 5 o'clock. It's like 5 o'clock. They start davening mincha. And we're like, so they're going to have the bris or we're going to go to Meyer here? Like, what's going on? Anyway, so he says to me and he says, oh, I called the Moel. As I said to him, oh, shoot. I'm sure there's such thing as non, you know, you could just call a doctor. You have to have a firm person. He says, you ever hear of Pesach Krohn? I'm like, holy cow, how'd you? Anyway, so the funny thing is when we got into the elevator, it was me and Pesach Krohn. He looked at me and he's like, what are you doing here? And I looked at him and go, what are you doing here? Because we were obviously going to the same event. He's like, I'm the mom. I go, no, he is Rabbi Krohn. And of course, I said, I'm the friend who, you know, because of me, that's what he said to me. He said, because of you, I wanted you to feel comfortable. So I knew how to have an Orthodox. So apparently he like Googled, you know, Moel, and of course Rabbi Krohn came up first, and he had, and so I said to him, and by the way, you could eat today because of me, because I told him to go to, I don't know if you guys remember, back in the day, in the Five Towns, a place called King David, beautifully catered event, and it was remarkable to me. And when I spoke to him a little bit about it, he's like, he didn't understand what I was talking about. He's like, Bris Milah, like, we might not be Shomer Shabbos or Mitzvah, see, Bris Milah, you got to give your kid a chance. And to that, I want to discuss what is so unique. So really, what's interesting is that except for the technicality of Tumah V'Tahara, it's possible that Bris Milah could be the first day of a child is born. Right? We don't do it because we want, you know, back in the day of Tumah V'Tahara Midaraisa, so we want the mom and dad to be there. We don't want them to be sad on the day, Rashi says. But what's the point of Bris Milah so early on? Right? The kid doesn't feel it. You know these great stories about the Russians. I'm going to tell some of these stories about these Russians who had Bris Milahs when they're, you know, they couldn't have it in Russian. And there's tremendous stories. But what's amazing about those stories is that it brings them together. One story that comes to mind, I'm going to tell at least three today, not including the one I just told, about a woman who, at the time of Russia, my sister actually had the schus of going to Russia in the 80s. When it was Usher and we had my father-in-law also went, you had to hide, like, they would hide the Milah knife. And when they would be asked, the Russian government would open up everything. What is this? And you would say, it's a placeholder. You know, we're using it, you know, you put it inside of a book. And say, yeah, stupid Americans, this is what we use. And I'm like, what, a knife? You're like, yeah. And they would get away with it. The girls would put tefillin on. They have to learn how to put tefillin. I remember my sister had to learn how to put tefillin on if they asked so she can give away the pair of tefillin. So you had a lot of times they couldn't have the Milah on the eighth day. First of all, it's dangerous like anything. And so there's a story about 3 months or something like that in, maybe 6 months in, and a woman, finally they have the Milah. It's very secret in a room, in it, and the Milah is done, and she takes the baby and she kisses the baby and she faints on the floor and she passes out. They get her come to, and they say, what's going on? And she said, I made a neder when my son was born that I will not kiss him until he has a Milah. I didn't know it was going to be whatever, 6 months, whatever it was, or whatever long time it was. Wow, that was not easy. And that's, she was so, you know, pent up with emotion that... So what is it that's so unique? you have this indelible mark. And it's interesting because we don't think about it so much because right now, and it's very possible this could change one day, this is something that the world does. Right? It's not a weird thing to have a circumcision. It's probably more common than not. So therefore, it's considered to be PC. Right? As you know, in some countries, they have or have tried to ban Mila because they... If I told you that this is a possibility down the line, knowing the world that we live in today, you wouldn't say, right, it's possible, that can happen. And people can say, what, Mila? Right? We think of it as a normal thing, but it's not a normal thing. We're supposed to be taking these perfect bodies from their Baruch Shalom. Their Baruch Shalom says, no, I want you to be part of a bris. I want you literally to give blood. So what does it mean? So I want to quote for you first a few sources on the topic of Mila, and to explain and understand, in my opinion, what's going on over here. So first and foremost, I'll start off with another story, because I know, why not? There's a wonderful, amazing story about the great Rav Aryeh Levine. I just thought of Rav Aryeh Levine over Shabbos, because I was telling my story of how my wife and I met. We had a wonderful person who set us up, Martin Newman. But we also had Miachra Pargod, somebody that set us up. Rabbi Rafal Levine, the son of Rabbi Aryeh Levine. I went to him for a bracha. I came to Israel for a shana, a Elul Zman. YU started that year in October. So we had a whole month, and Yeshiva HaKotel set up this amazing learning program with Rav Moshe Targan. It was amazing. I still remember we were learning Kedushin. And I said to Rav Bina, I knew that he had a very close relationship with Rabbi Rafal Levine. I said, you know, I want to get married, and I'm going out with this girl. And I heard that Rabbi Rafal Levine gives a special bracha, and he does some goral from the Gra, Eish, Mayim, is it Shayach, so on and so forth. And I remember going there, and Hamdabi was Chol HaMoed, so he didn't write on Chol HaMoed. And he joked to me, and he said, okay, you know, you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed, you know, Kuach Nefesh, right? You think this is Chol HaMoed? And then I was very confused, because Rabbi Rafal Levine, very quickly after he didn't actually tell me whether the shidduch was going to work out, started giving me this whole divrei Torah. I remember it somewhat well. And telling me, you know, I shouldn't be so picky and that's a problem in our society. And then when I came home, the girl totally dumped me. And I started going out with, and Baruch Hashem, I met my wife a few dates after some other girls I met with. But I might not have gone out with her if it wasn't for Rafal Levine saying, stop being so picky, and like, oh, I need to have a michlala. I need to go out with a michlala girl who went to Hask and goes to Stern. Like, stop with your list. Something important for you guys to realize. And on the first date, my wife says to me, I got to tell you the weirdest story. I just came back from Israel, she said. She was just in Eretz Yisrael. It was January time, and I just went for vacation. And Motzei Shabbos, this was Monday, Motzei Shabbos, the people we were staying at in the Old City, a very close friend of hers, the mom says, you got to go to the Kotel now. Motzei Shabbos, who is famous, or Rafal Levine, would go down to the Kotel. You girls got to get a bracha. You're not married yet. Come on, girls. She's like, fine. I went down to the Kotel. They got a bracha from Rafal Levine, that same person I got a bracha from. I mean, come on. So I had to marry her. I had no choice at that point because it was a good story. And we went to Rafal Levine. We got a bracha from him afterwards. And so his father, Rav Aryeh Levine. So Rav Aryeh Levine was called the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. And early Fridays, Rav Aryeh Levine would go to shul a few hours before it started so he can say Shir Hashem. Shir Hashem was such a gorgeous, of course it was the Megillah that we laned this year. Well, we usually, in Chol HaMoed Pesach, we did it this year, Shir Yishal Pesach. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Something people do every Erev Shabbos. People do it at the Seder itself. It shows the love that we have with the Rabbanu Shalom. So there's a line there. And he would always go there because there was a famous Rav that was there. Rav Chaim Berlin, the Rav of Yerushalayim, the Netziv's son. And he's sitting there. And when he got to the Pasuk right in the beginning, that says, Heinach Yafeh Rayati Hanach Yafeh Einech Yonam. You are fair, my darling, oh, you are fair. You are dove-like in your eyes. He started hysterically crying. Crying. And Rav Levine is like, Rebbe, what's going on? Why are you crying? And he says, whenever I say this pasuk, I can't stop crying because of a story that happened to me. And the story was that he was a Rav in Russia. And it was often the case, being a Rav, that many people who were Jewish but not religious would come to him and say, we need to figure out how to get it. We want to do a bris. And a lot of people would do it, and it was the threat and so on and so forth, and they would do it. And so this guy comes to him and he says, I need to have a private meeting with you. I can't come to your house. You have to come to my house. The rabbi comes and the rabbi says, what's going on? So he says, I get a mazel tov. You know, my son was born and the bris is coming up. I want you to do it. It's okay. What's the, you know, if you will, the secrets. What's going on? He says, well, come downstairs and look at my factory. And he has a factory right below his house. And the factory makes crucifix, crosses. That's what they do for a living. Different halachic discussion, not for now. What the heck is going on here? So he says, I can't let people know I'm Jewish. Okay. So they set a date. They do it very, very private. It was just him and the father. He was the tzaddik, and they brought her the mole. And afterwards, he's like, I got to ask you. No offense, but you ain't too religious. You know, you make crucifix. Why? And he said, because I need to give my son a chance. I don't think I'll ever come back to the religion. But I don't want my son to come back and then say, oh, wait a minute, I have no mila. And he says, and I think of this pasuk where we're like the dove, right? We're the Yonah. We're always going to come back. That famous, of course, image of the Yonah and, of course, Noach coming back. That's B'nai Yisrael. We're going to come back. And that's the specialty of it. And there's a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Tanya, this is Shabbos Kuf Lamed, Vileza Demila. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol mitzvah, Shekibla aleihem besimcha, Kegon Mila. Any mitzvah that we do besimcha, like we do Mila, Dichsiv sasa nochi amrasecha kemasel shalal rav, any mitzvah that we do b'simcha will always for generations be a mitzvah of simcha. And if you think about the mitzvah of simcha, it absolutely makes no sense. You are hurting your child now. Anybody who saw that Seinfeld episode, right? You're hurting your child. What are you doing? How can you do that? And we do b'simcha. We have bagels and lox, right? It's b'simcha, right? The crying at the bris is not, it's a crying of simcha. Wow. And the naming, oh my God, they named him all after my grandpa. It's a simcha. The Gemara continues and says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol Mitzvah Shemasur Yisrael Atzma Maleim Lamisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, praise those who observe the mitzvah of Mila. Because any mitzvah that we do al Mesiras Nefesh, we sacrifice our lives for, during the time of Shmad, of Gezeris Hamalchus, Kegona Vodazaru Mila, Muksot Biyadam. It's going to remain forever. What are these two Gemaras right next to each other? What are they? They're not Soyser each other. They're talking about this amazing, indelible sign that we make, Besimcha, of saying, I want to remind you, my dear son, I know you're not going to remember this, but you will see it for the rest of your life, a Bris Mila. The first thing I did was Mesiras Nefesh to you. I want to show you that you have to be Moiser Nefesh. And it's amazing, as I said, that somebody who's totally not affiliated, not religious, but farthest away from Yahadus, and this is a true story, there are people who call, I remember my a guy I used to work with in Netuvo and told me this crazy story. His brother moved to Alaska. But it was, I don't understand, I don't never been to Alaska, but it was like an island outside, I don't know. And they had to call a Chabad rabbi to do the Mila. And they totally not religious, this guy. His brother was totally not religious. Insisting, you got to get here on the eighth day. What's the day? What does this guy care so much? Right? It was a big trip. And so, right? And you know when, oh my God, a Shabbos Mila. How are you going to get the mole? How are you going to find? So what's going on over here? What are these psukim trying to tell us? The Gemara is trying to tell us. And the answer is, the Mesiras Nefesh is what keeps us around. It's because of your grandfather. It's because of... That's why. That explains everything. It started with Parshas Lech Lecha, yes. And there is an interesting connection between the Mesiras Nefesh, and Mechilta actually says this in Yisro, of Avram Avinu, Bris Mila, coming to Eretz Yisrael. Ein Mesiras Nefesh, Godel Mizu. We live in a country, Baruch Hashem, will be celebrating that Mesiras Nefesh. And it's a very hard Mesiras Nefesh. And I think of this as my son goes into the army. of this indelible mark of Kiddush Hashem, of Mesiras Nefesh. Saying, no, this is what we have to do. And there's a big machlekes out there. I don't know if you call it a machlekes. You know, who's right? And my son went for Shabbos to a little Shabbaton they had with their high school friends in Mavo Charon. And he went to a high school called Mitzvah Yericho. And there's a lot of kids who took the path of what's called Yeshiva Gedola, I think, or something like that. I forget what it's called. Where basically they're Merkaz Harav or Mitzvah Yericho. And they're going to serve in the army for like 8 months, 9 months, something like that. And they're like, why should we? And he's like, what do you mean? As a parent, you'd be like, oh, I wish my son will be a jobnik, you know? And like, this will be that guy at the airport and go, next, you know, like, no. And he's like, no, I want kfir. I want to fight, right? I want to fight. I want to. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's Avram Avinu. The Oilos Ephraim, one of my neighbor's favorite svarim, Yudi Axelrod loves the Sefer. So the Oilos Ephraim, who is also the author of the Klei Yakar, says the following. Inyan HaMila Hu G'day L'Hargil Atzmo B'Midas Hatzar G'day SheYihyeh Nako Be'enof. Should be easy. L'Moyser Nafshal Kedush Shemo Yitbarach. Kishi Yargil Es Atzmo Minu Urav Kodosh Shem Shamayim Be'echan Me'evarav Yidnako Be'enof Ki Yizdakein L'Moyser Nafshal L'Shamayim. Yes, he's 8 years old and he's not going to remember. But the indelible mark was made on him of Mesiras Nefesh of the Rabbeinu Shem. And there's a reason, and I can't explain the reason, that almost every Jew, this is the sign that we're going to do. No. Bris Milah, of course you do Bris Milah. Are you crazy? There's no question about it. And the Mesiras Nefesh, of course. But it's also done B'Simcha. Mesiras Nefesh B'Simcha seem to be opposites, but they come together. That's an amazing idea. When we celebrate Yom HaTzmut this week, it is a very, very heavy holiday. Because, and I think it's an amazing, amazing idea that the Rabbanut HaRashit did, that Erev Yom HaTzmut is not a happy day at all. Right? And it's interesting, this, I was just was looking at, I haven't been away on a vacation with my wife. Just like one night, maybe get away. So what's the cheapest night? Yom HaZikaron. Nobody goes away in that day. You can't listen to the radio and have real music. It's a sad day. It hits everybody. It hits everyone. Everybody knows someone. My daughter just went to Askara for her friend's brother, Dorori, who died in an unfortunate accident, a tank accident. It's very hard. We all know someone. That Mesiras Nefesh all of a sudden comes 24 hours later with a simcha. L'havdil, but in America when they have those celebrations of Yom HaTzmut, so a lot of times they don't Yom Zikaron, they don't know how to do that. So they do it right before Yom, right? They do it like right, they have like a little program where there's like a little askara, and then but when you see that, right? And then they raise the flag, and they're like, how can you do that? That's all about a Jew. B'simcha. Mesiras Nefesh B'simcha. How can you have a father, Rachman al-Hassan, a daughter, at Har Herzl for their child, and that night celebrate? Yeah, that's what Judaism is about. That's the Mesiras Nefesh, that's Milo. It's amazing. Let me just end off with what I think is a beautiful story I just heard. I told you I'm going to tell a lot of stories. It's a story told about Rav Aaron Levy, a great darshan. So he tells a story that back when the Iron Curtain was removed and a lot of Russians came here. So many of them came and they did not have bris milos. So the hospitals could not handle the amount of bris milos to be done. And of course they wanted it to be done kedas v'kedin. So they set up at a local hotel, a few floors were rented out for bris milos, like quick bris milos. Was actually right near Shari Tzedek Hospital, so there wouldn't be any issues. And he said that he was learning in a kollel then, and he was there, he was the guy who would like help out. He didn't do the milos, but afterwards to make sure everybody was doing okay, so on and so forth. And this one very old man, I forgot, he's in his 60s, and he was a guy for a minute. You can imagine how difficult this is at 60 years old. And after he has the bris milah, so it was his job, Rav Aaron Levi goes up to him, holds his hand, he says, "Are you okay?" And he sees that he's welled up with tears. And he says, "Are you in pain? Like, do you want more medication? Are you in pain?" And he goes, "Pain? Because I was a captain in the Red Army, you know, the Soviet Army. We don't have pain. We don't cry. You think I'm crying? I'm not crying." He says, "You know why I have tears in my eyes? That's not crying." He says, "I just wish that my parents were here to wish me a mazel tov. Because you know what? My entire 60, whatever, 70 years of my life, I was a bad Jew." He had broken. He just came from Russia. He broke. Because Yehudi Rani, Achshav Ani Yehudi Tov. So Ryan Levy says, "Well, how did he? He's not religious. He's nothing. He got a free trip to Israel. Like, that's why he's moving to Israel, you know?" The answer is, it's been Mesiras Nefesh, from his father, from his grandfather. That dream of keeping Judaism alive, of that mark on the child. But Mesiras Nefesh, but Besipcha. Yes, it's difficult to think about Nebuch, the Korbanot in our country, and the Korbanot that unfortunately continue. Right? If it's not war, it's terrorism, it's this. And it's difficult. And as much as we sign deals with our Arab neighbors, Nishpasha. So there's a Mesiras Nefesh to live in Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's the connection of the Lech Lecha, of the first mitzvah, besides our parasha. We should be zeichet to realize this Mesiras Nefesh. As we're in the times of Sfiras Omer, we should realize that Mesiras Nefesh is the time that we're in. We're counting up to realizing that we're being Mekabel the Torah. Gam kein be Mesiras Nefesh. We should be zeiche that we should fulfill the will that your parents had, and I'm sure your grandparents, many years ago when you were 8 days old, to have a bris milah, and be zeiche to nachas ruach from the Rabbanu Shalom, that we're following his ways of mesiras nefesh, the simcha.